You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill. Looking ahead to the action coming up on Tuesday, 3rd of April, and hopefully we're going to have some racing taking place on Tuesday. Pontefract and Wincanton already been abandoned because of the weather. Lingfield, our sole remaining meeting here in Britain, Fairy House for the third day of their Easter meeting over in Ireland, hopefully also going to be going ahead. No inspection planned or anything like that. And you'll be able to hear it on Racing Radio from 10 past 2 in the afternoon. But for now on the podcast, my name's John Gibby, joined in the studio by Tom Morley. Hello, Tom.
Hi.
How's it going?
Not bad. Bit wet out there.
It is. You can see why we haven't got any turf racing in this country today.
Yeah, as I was driving up, it was very wet, and I'm not surprised that Pontefract has gone. Fortunately, I didn't go to Pontefract for my two races because I made an educated guess that by the time I arrived here, there would be no Pontefract racing. So I played safe and went for Lingfield anyway.
So that moves us seamlessly on to your two selections for Tuesday's action.
So the first race we shall have a look at is the 220, a little 5 furlong 0-75 handicap. And, I mean, it's quite a competitive little race, not a huge field. But the horse I like here is Sir Hector. Now, since winning at Lingfield in the middle of January, he's been second three times. Now, some people might question this, and obviously his marks continue to rise at that time. You know, does he have the will to win? Is he fully exposed, and is that the problem? But let's have a quick glance at the horses who have beaten him in those races. Beaten at Kempton by Becker, who has followed up a couple of days ago and looks a progressive individual. He was then beaten by Grandfather Tom at Lingfield, who then went and won twice afterwards. And he was beaten last time by Rock on Bailey's, who then won twice more and came third on All Weather Championships Day. So I think, to me, this is no disgrace to be second to any of those horses. He's got race fitness on his side against some of these to add to the ticks in his boxes. Yeah, he's drawn on the outside, but there's only seven runners, and sometimes actually being seven as opposed perhaps to five of seven can help. At least you've got no one cutting in across in front of you or anything from the outside. So I really like Sir Hector. And if we have a glance at the others in the race, you know, Gold Filigree, consistent last season, repeatedly placed over 5 and 6. But although she did run here in October and got off the mark in November at Wolverhampton, that was over a furlong further and not been seen since November. So might just lack match fitness around this sharp track. Dotted Swiss won on her debut here over 6, but then had a long break afterwards and struggled over 7 on her return. I think it was a weak race when she was second on her last outing. Looked like she needed 6 furlongs and again lacks match sharpness. Firenze Rosa won on the turf track here on handicap debut, but her handicap mark just shot up that day and she went badly backwards afterwards. Again, lacks race fitness as well and clearly needs to have benefited from the break. Princess Kira ran well on debut but's gone backwards afterwards. Also never run on the all-weather. Warriors Valley finished behind Sir Hector in February. Since then he's won twice and was second last time. But the problem here is that means his mark's gone up £15. So now he's much worse off with Sir Hector. So whilst Warriors Valley is at least in good form, there's no reason at all why he should be reversing placings and getting in front of Sir Hector here. And finally, Blessed to Impress. Having won on a debut, she struggled afterwards. There were signs of life on her final run last year at Chelmsford, but again, she may need the run on her return and lack the match sharpness of Sir Hector. So I'm pretty keen on Sir Hector, albeit.
You mentioned Sir Hector's handicap mark. It has gone up, but at the end of the day, he's on the same mark as when second to Rock on Bailey's last time, and only £1 higher than that second to Grandfather Tom at Lingfield 2 starts back.
Yeah, and as I say, I do think the horses that have beaten him are pretty decent and have franked the form on each occasion. So, you know, I don't think it's any disgrace for Sir Hector, you know, to have come second 3 times. I don't think there's a lack of wanting to win there or anything. I think this, especially with that match fitness against some of these rivals, will stand him in good stead here.
Sir Hector, then, the choice of Tom Audley in the 220 at Lingfield. And what about your second selection?
Second one is in the 425, which is a 6 furlong 0-80 handicap. And here I'm going for Buccaneers Vault. Only notched one victory last year, despite putting up a series of consistent efforts on the grass. That victory came at Doncaster in September, and this horse is now £6 higher. But closed the season at Windsor with a decent second. Would have gone close to winning that day if he hadn't been squeezed for room as well. So I don't think the mark's beyond this horse at all. Had his first run back a couple of weeks ago, was fourth at Newcastle, drawn low, and he was away from those who finished first and second that day. And he was, I think, understandably perhaps a bit keen, fresh, first time out after a break. You know, that quite often they're just to get a bit excited to be back in business. But it was a pretty good reappearance, I thought, and he should be able to build on that. And so I like Buccaneers Vault. The logical opposition, or main opposition, will be Sandra's Secret to me. Closed last season with a narrow victory over the Stiff Five at Newcastle. She did win here at the distance back in May as well, but it's £5 higher than that victory. Her couple of runs after a winter break haven't been without promise either. Fourth last time at Wolverhampton last week, where she was held up, ran on, didn't get a clear run, and she certainly looks ready to win soon. Be interesting to see what tactics they employ, as a lot of her best form has been when she's led from start to finish, and she's handily drawn in two. But another negative potentially here, she may face competition for the lead. I mean, you've got Taverner in the race for a start, you know, who could lay it up to her. So I just edge away, but I mean, to be honest, if I was looking for a forecast, I do think it's Buccaneers Vault and Sandra's Secret. Bernie's Boys had a fantastic winter, winning four, but his mark shot up, showed nothing last time out at Kempton, albeit in a decent quality race. I think that one may have done its winning for now. Tundra got bought for $45,000 in November, had two runs for this yard, both at Kempton, showed nothing. Dutiful Son moved to this yard after winning a claimer in January. They paid $7,000 for it that day, and unsurprisingly has found Handicap Company a little bit too hot off this mark, so I think that one's vulnerable again. And then you have the Taverner, who I've also already mentioned, that likes to go to the front. Did win in January at Wolverhampton, and he led from start to finish that day. £4 higher than that winning mark, and I think we've got potential competition up front. And to be fair, Taverner's form has been pretty questionable since that victory as well, so I think that one looks vulnerable too. So Buccaneers Vault for me.
Buccaneers Vault then in the 425 at Lingfield, the second of Tom's two selections from Tuesday's racing action, or what is left of it. Now we'll move on, Tom, to look at the Monday jury and the Racing Post. We always do this on the Tuesday yep. Racing Podcast. Look at the big questions being asked by the trade newspaper. And we start off by looking back at the action from Dubai and World Cup nights on Saturday. The first question is, do you think Mendelssohn can make history and win the Kentucky Derby? Of course, he won the UAE Derby in impressive style on World Cup night for Aidan O'Brien.
He certainly could. And he possibly offers a decent chance compared to most horses that the Europeans have sent over for it. You've got to be slightly concerned about what he beat, obviously, in Dubai. I mean, to me, you know, with respect, Rayo and Reride aren't much, and they were the placed horses. But then you can't overlook the fact that it was 18 and a quarter lengths, and it was an absolute rout. So I think on the face of it, it's going to be a much bigger ask, of course, but you've seen can potentially handle the surface. Obviously, there's the chance that you might get sloppy over there, whereas Maidan, it certainly wasn't sloppy. But he definitely has a chance,
yeah,
and a better chance than most that, if you like, we send over. So I wouldn't rule him out at all.
Obviously, a question about Ryan Moore's participation takes place the same day as the Guineas, and that is the focus of the next question. If it was you, Tom Morley, if you were going to ride in either the Guineas on Saxon Warrior, presumably Saxon Warrior would be the choice of Moore, of course, we are assuming there, or Mendelssohn in the Kentucky Derby, or the Kentucky Derby, as the Americans would have me pronounce it, which would you do?
Have I got the same amount of victories as Ryan Moore?
Yes, you are Ryan Moore.
I am Ryan Moore.
You're being a little bit more talkative, but you are him.
I'd go to America and give that a go. Something different, you know. Ryan Moore's won, if you like, trophies all around the world. He's won plenty over here, and if I was him, I'd be wanting to try and add that one onto the mantelpiece.
Yeah.
You know, I think also the other thing is, Well, first of all, we'll see what happens in Saxon Warrior, Guineas, and to be fair, Mendelssohn and the Kentucky Derby is a little way away yet, and therefore that may dictate something if one of those has a setback. But with Aidan O'Brien's horses, you have a number of jockeys who do come in on second, third and fourth strings, and it is very much a team effort as well. So it's not like if he goes over there, he's going to suddenly, obviously he's riding for the same people anyway, but he's not going to fall down the pecking order or anything like that. It's not a, you're not burning any bridges by doing so, because it's the same bridge. And he's done the Guineas before. I would go to America.
And ultimately, chances are Ryan Moore is going to win another winner of the 2000 Guineas at some point in his career. It'd be quite surprising if he didn't.
Unless he decides to retire, he's going to have some ammunition for
exactly.
a race, isn't he?
This could be his one shot.
Exactly. I that's what, if it was me, or if I was him,
yeah,
that's what I would do.
Okay, well, we move now to another issue coming out of Saturday's World Cup card, and that is, what kind of splash do you think Dubai Gold Cup hero Vizirabad can make at Royal Ascot? Of course, he took the staying contest on Saturday evening, and he seems to be one of those horses, Vizirabad, who's been around in staying races, the top staying, you know, Group 1s, Group 2s, for quite a long time, Tom. But other than this Dubai Gold Cup, which he's won twice now, he's never quite gotten to Ascot Gold Cup levels.
I'm glad I watched Dubai racing on Saturday. Otherwise, these questions would be a little bit problematic. Vizirabad. I mean, it was, to the eye, a nice performance.
I can hear the tone of your voice. What your answer's going to be here?
What's my answer going to be?
I think you're going to say that you think he will be beaten by Order of St. George. That's my prediction.
Okay. He was a long way from the front in Dubai, and he made up very beautiful progress forwards in the race. However, Sheikh Zayed Road came second.
I will not hear a word against Sheikh Zayed Road.
No, Sheikh Zayed Road,
horse.
He's a beautiful yes. horse. I mean, he is what racing is all about,
exactly.
to be honest. Horses like him. So I'm not crabbing him at all.
Good.
However, you get my point. It is Sheikh Zayed Road, and he is getting on a bit, and he has been around for absolutely donkey's years. So, again, how strong was that race, really? There was no strength in depth in it, almost certainly. And as you say, you know, Vizirabad enjoys Maidan. It's almost like his whole life is geared around winning at Maidan, and, hey, 444 grand or whatever it was, That's not bad. But some of these horses, if they are geared towards Maidan, do they have another peak in them? You know how Dubai sometimes takes it out of them. It's not just, people go, oh, he's only run twice out there. Yeah, but it's a totally different training regime. It's obviously a different environment, different heat. You know, that can affect horses for a start. And as you say, is he going to come back and literally beat everything at Ascot? I'm not convinced. But he is a nice horse, and you can't knock what he's achieved. And you know, if I'd won, what's it, 2.2, nearly 2.3 million?
Yeah, I'll tell you
that. That's all right.
Yeah, it's all right.
But I suspect he may be vulnerable at Ascot. And who knows what ground we'll have at Ascot. I mean, when did the last sunshine ever appear?
In this country, or anywhere. It
wasn't much last year.
No, that is true. That is
true. You know,
Vizirabad was one of, obviously, a host of winners on the World Cup card. Tom, what other performances impressed you on that night?
It's... I don't want to crab it, but the problem was, wasn't it, that... you're sniggering again.
Yeah.
Because I'm blatantly about to crab it. The problem was, there was a huge track bias, wasn't there? So that, you know, I think does mean that you have a little bit of a question mark over some things. I mean, we go through the winners. So Heavy Metal, I've been that. I'm not interested in that horse. You know, we know that his former trainer has been done for cheating. Next. Mendelssohn, we've obviously talked about already, and it'll be interesting to see what happens there. Jungle Cat, I was really pleased to see that win. I know Blue Point didn't take part, but I thought Jungle Cat was going to win anyway.
Yeah.
I was a Jungle Cat fan. It was my nap of the day, in fact.
Bit after time in there, Tom.
You could go back to Saturday and look at my nap of the day. That pleased me, but how excited am I about that race? Not really. There were very few European horses over there for the Alquaz Sprint. Now they've changed it into a 6 furlong one. I don't get it. 6 furlong turf and 6 furlong dirt. What's the point of that? Stupid. You know, why? It was a 5 furlong race, and it was absolutely fine as a 5 furlong race. It's beaten a couple of American horses who are okay, I suppose. Mind Your Biscuits, that was a nice performance. Again, I think...
Broke the track record,
largely because the ones at the front, you know, did appear to have been catapulted for most of the race. And Mind Your Biscuits was tailed off, wasn't he, on the home turn. But you can't knock a horse who wins a race twice, you know, in successive years there. So that was good. Ben Battle's a horse I've always loved. I was pleased for Ocean Murphy that they got that. And to be fair, I thought Ben Battle did that really nicely, and I'm sure we'll see him again over this side of the world during the summer. And Hawkbill, that was another one. That pleased me. But we're not necessarily talking about superstars here, but we're talking about just really decent, tough horses.
Underrated horse, though, isn't he, Hawkbill?
Yeah. And there was plenty of money, I think, for him on the day. And I wasn't surprised. Again, how much the strength of depth is debatable. And once more, you know, this horse was given a proper aggressive ride from up the front end. And then Thunder Snow, obviously, that absolutely blitzed home, really. Beat West Coast. But again, got a better ride, didn't it? So I'm not that excited about any of them, really.
So the short answer is none of them, really.
Well, no, there's some decent horses. But I do think Dubai form doesn't necessarily translate elsewhere. It's just a different thing, isn't it?
It is indeed. Tom, time is not really on our side, so we'll move quickly along to the next question, which moves the focus back onto the domestic front. Which horse are you keeping onside in the looming classic trials?
Yeah, I'll give this one. This won't take long, because I'm going to give this one a total skip. I don't have a view on it. Number one, because I've got no idea what's happened over the winter with the horses, and unless you're in-house, I don't see how anyone knows. And secondly, the weather.
Yeah.
You know, ask me again on the day of the race, and I'll have more idea, purely because at least we'll know what conditions they're going to face.
And final question, give us one who can pay their way at a lower level on the flat. You might have a little bit of an insider nugget on this, potentially. Not that any of your horses run at a lower level.
Good point. Yeah. Well, I suppose the easiest thing is, I mean, I thought... It's not a very low level, but Zamjar, who I know a lot of people may have followed over a cliff for the previous yard, he had his first run for us in last week. First run over 5 furlongs, big drop in trip for the horse. And he came second. I thought it was a decent run. He got beaten by a horse who's been making hay on the all weather this winter and who had a clearer run round the outside, whereas Zamjar did have a few problems. So that would be one I would hope he would be able to progress upwardly, certainly as he learns how to sprint.
Yeah.
So that would probably be my like own one.
Yeah. Fantastic. Well, hopefully we'll have plenty of racing to look forward to on Tuesday at Ferry House in Lingfield. The two meetings currently scheduled, and you'll be able to hear those on Racing Radio live from 10 past 2 in the afternoon. Another edition of the podcast coming up tomorrow as well. Thanks for listening today. And Tom, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.